What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, March 14th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Reverend Jared Petty.
Doki Doki, Greg. Good to see you, man.
It's Pi Day. Did you know that?
It is Pi Day. Actually, I was very excited. I put a poll out for Pockets Full of Soup. We always ask the question, cake or pie?
Oh, right.
So today, do you want cake or, it's a little joke, a little pie?
That's
and
funny.
I do love Pi Day. It's cool.
Yeah.
Pie is delicious, but also mathematical principles that allow us to do things like visit outer space are also very cool.
I guess it doesn't make sense.
What?
It's just a number.
It's a number.
Why even put pie? Just put the number then.
It's
you know?
An extremely useful number, though. Well, again, because the number is really, really long. As a matter of fact, nobody's ever completely found the end.
Mississippi's a really long name, but we still write the number.
MISSISSIPPI. Absolutely. Yeah. I like those state things. You got Mississippi, you got Ohio, round on the sides, high in the middle.
That's good. Okay.
You know, that's some good stuff right there.
I haven't heard that one.
Oh, yeah. You haven't heard that one? Yeah.
No.
It's a little song. Ohio, round on the sides, high in the middle. Like that.
This is just a song for Ohio.
It's like, a song
I think
for
they
Ohio.
Just, they're probably in Ohio. They're pretty proud of that.
I'm
it's a joke that
so.
Plays for them, not for everybody else.
Oh, I mean, it's still round on the sides and
sure,
high in the middle.
It still makes sense. Yeah.
But what's your favorite state name?
Favorite state name?
Yeah, there's some pretty great ones. That's pretty marvelous.
I never really thought about it. You know?
No?
I'm drawn to Illinois because, of course, I'm from there.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that counts.
It's
you know,
got an
why.
S at the end, but it's like Noy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Kind of cool.
Illinois. That's how we learned to spell it because that's how you got to do it.
I like Alabama the way Forrest Gump says it. Like when he's like, Greenbow,
Alabama.
Yeah. Like I love that.
Forrest Gump, what a flick.
Yeah, I love
Kevin,
that
you want to stop the show and watch Forrest Gump?
I'm in.
All right, cool.
I'm absolutely
If you didn't know, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindafunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then you can watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, we have a special job for you. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, just the facts, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe.
None of those opinions, just the facts.
I don't want any. Yeah, just the facts, ma'am.
I heard you and Andrea were trying to rein this in.
Well, it's
recently.
Just some people get in there and then they just want to, well, it's not really a you're wrong. Then it doesn't belong here.
Yeah.
If it's not really a you're wrong, it doesn't belong here. You don't need to expound on it.
We're not here to talk about fake news.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. All right. Housekeeping for you, Jared Petty.
Yeah.
You have a new episode of your show live.
Hot Blip and a Jump. New episode is up for patrons right now, Friday for everybody. So if you are an early access patron, you can run out and grab it right now. That's the $5 patron level, along with some other things that we have there. And if not, then Friday, everybody can watch it. So
what's your Patreon page?
My Patreon page, you can actually go to hotblipjump.com or hotblipandajump.com takes you straight to Patreon.
Nice. There you go.
That's the easy
Perfect.
Way to find it. Yeah,
right,
hotblipandajump.com, but it's Patreon/Jared Petty.
What is the elevator pitch for episode 2?
The elevator pitch, console wars. And a different perspective on them than you probably encountered before.
Perfect. Yeah. I like that a lot.
Yep. It's a good episode. I'm proud of it.
I'm proud of you.
I interrupted.
Meanwhile, on patreon.com/kindafunnygames, new party mode live is live there for just a buck. You can watch us all play PUBG. But that also means, of course, over on youtube.com/kindafunnygames right now, the Far Cry 5 party mode. Me and Andy playing co-op and being goons is up for your approval. You should go check it out.
You should go check it out. You should go to that Patreon, patreon.com/kindafunny. It's a good place to be.
Go to Kinda Funny Games.
Kinda Funny Games?
For this one. They're both there.
The
but you have the gaming content. And not to mention that today's sponsor is patreon.com/kindafunnygames. But I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 6 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Number 1, Microsoft saying they're going to have the biggest E3 showing ever.
I just hear the ActRaiser music in my head when that's like bum 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 bum.
It's rising
bum, bum,
up.
Bum, bum, bum.
With this is from of course Major Nelson's blog. It's the Xbox release. With the evolution of E3 now including fans and extended show hours, we saw an opportunity to create an entirely new show experience reaching E3 attendees and those that are following the show from afar. With that, in collaboration with the Entertainment Software Association, the organizers of E3, we're excited to announce that Xbox will be taking over the Microsoft Theater, a perfectly situated space located in the heart of LA Live and across the street from the Los Angeles Convention Center. The Microsoft Theater will be home to official E3 events like the Xbox E3 2018 briefing on June 10th, 2018 at 1 p.m. Pacific, various Xbox Fan Fest activities, hands-on gameplay and demos for all E3 attendees, and more. Not only does the Microsoft Theater allow us to centralize our Xbox presence at E3, but Its size enabled us to include even more fans and partners in the E3 Xbox 2018 briefing than ever before. In addition to the Microsoft Theater, we'll also continue to have a meaningful presence at the LA Convention Center with a new booth completely dedicated to Mixer, where you can play, stream, and interact with games and catch the latest live E3 news throughout the entire week. These changes, expanding our presence, multiple venues, taking over the Microsoft theaters, give us the opportunity to bring together a variety of Xbox experiences, though sirens are on our end and not yours, car drivers, into one primary location. And most importantly, let fans in on what we're up to in 2018 and beyond in a fresh new way. Stay tuned to the Xbox Wire for an update on all of this in April. Jared. Details.
Yes, sir.
What do you think?
I think I'm excited. I really enjoy the press conferences. I am, like Tim, very much a fan of hype.
Sure.
And I love reveals. I love the hype going on. But when it comes to actually renting out the theater and having a giant Xbox-centric experience there off-site, technically off-site, it's right across the street.
Right, yeah.
It's not like you have to go to the other end of LA or down to Hollywood like you'd have to do for some other events. It's right there in the middle of everything. I'm not surprised. Marketers love to have things where they can control them, where they can, you know, actually gauge the internal metrics. E3 is a very expensive thing for publishers and console developers to get involved in. So it makes sense that they just be like, you know what, we're just going to have our own three-ring circus right here, right next to everything else that's going on. It's not like we're abandoning the show floor. We'll have something else there. It is going to be a little weird seeing, I'm so used to that, the Sony giant, and the Microsoft booths right with that little alley between each other.
Yeah.
Will Microsoft's booth still feel that way?
It doesn't sound like it, right? Else? It sounds like it's just going to be Mixer and everything else will be at LA Live, which is cool, but is weird and different. And I wonder how they're going to utilize that space. Of course, the Microsoft Theater is where the Game Awards were. Like, you understand, I can picture the conference there. What I can't picture is what they're talking about is, okay, this will be a place for you to get hands-on gameplay and demo. At E3 attendees and more, various Xbox Fan Fest activities. Is that all in the lobby? Is that lining it? Are they repurposing the stage?
My guess is that they'll repurpose the theater room for part of that. That they'll actually, because the fact is, more people can get in than ever before.
Sure.
And, so, and there is very, if you've never been on the E3 show floor, the space is limited.
It's tight.
So now, with an entire theater to work with, they can put a lot more demo stations in. They can bring in their influencers if they want to and make sure they have priority. They'll have press rooms available. They'll have Wi-Fi for their staff. And they're going to have, I'm going to guess, a lot more space for people to line up, be able to play the games. I actually think this might be a good thing. I love E3. I don't want E3 to go away. I don't want E3 to deteriorate into something that's spread out over a million hotels. But this might actually be better now that it's a public show anyway for the fans.
PhoneCat wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD just like you can and says, hold the phone, Greg and show host. This cat has a question.
Whoa.
Why is Microsoft next door to E3? I get space as a premium in there, but now one of the big three is hosted outside and across the road? I understand that Microsoft is still part of E3, but I can't help thinking that this is just the first move in their journey to make their own event like EA Play. What do you think? Thanks for everything, PhoneCat.
What are your thoughts, Greg?
I don't like that. I like Microsoft's messaging in here that they immediately shout out, right? With that, in collaboration with the Entertainment Software Association, the organizers of E3, because when EA did EA Play, it was very much not in collaboration with the ESA. This was them saying, fuck you, E3, we're doing our own thing. We don't have to play by your rules anymore. Clearly, Microsoft's worked out some kind of deal here with them of like, all right, cool. We're still going to have our booth space. It'll just be Mixer, though. Meanwhile, we're going to go over there and do it. We'll still mention you. It's still part of E3. We're still going to say E3. We're still going to drive home the message of E3. I think it's Microsoft being super aggressive and, you know, literally getting to say it's their biggest E3 showing ever.
Yeah.
I hope that trickles down into games. I hope that trickles down into announcements that like, hey, we've taken over the Microsoft Theater here for the entire week because everything you're about to see on this stage is going to be playable, is going to be crazy. We want every fan possible to come in. We want every media person possible to come in. We have so much things to show you that we needed to take over a space this big.
I think what it's going to be is they're announcing Scream Ride 2 and they're going to build a roller coaster inside the lobby.
Perfect. That's exactly what everybody wants.
Yeah. But I mean, actually, you know what? If they build a roller coaster in the lobby, completely okay with that. That sounds amazing. I do think that there's a lot of internal reasons at a company to want to control your own messaging space. There's a lot of really smart reasons to have more space for people to come in. And if you want to make a humongous splash, I mean, imagine instead of being limited to that show floor, what they can set up in there. If they want to have giant walk-through Gears of War haunted house, they can do that now.
Yeah.
If they want to do some of the, you know, you saw that stuff from South by Southwest where you could go to Westworld.
Right.
You know, Microsoft could do that with Halo.
now.
And there would not have been space to do something like that before.
It's going
to
be interesting, right? Because when I think of E3 and the way I want to see it utilized, I want to see it utilized not for activations, but for, hey, play this game. Hey, see this game. I always dug the way Microsoft has done the past few years their E3, right? Because you go to their booth and it's just games. It's a sea of games and stations and demo people. But then at the very back is the behind closed doors rooms where you go, you check in and then you wait. And then a small group of maybe seven go into a small room with the developers who show you a presentation. It's where I saw Tacoma. It's where I did State of Decay 2. It's where I pop in for any Xbox game I care about. I liked that. And it'll be interesting to see what this does to that and how you're saying, how are they going to utilize all the space and what they do with it?
Yeah.
I don't think it's them getting close to breaking away from E3, like EA Play. I think it's just them being aggressive. I think, as I said, I think Game Pass, the integration with Sea of Thieves, State of Decay 2, etc., that was their first time actually, all right, cool, we've laid out this foundation, and now it's time to be aggressive. It's time to go on the offensive a bit.
Aggression makes sense for them right now.
Right.
I mean, they're already...
They got ground to make up.
No, they've got ground to make up, and they're poising themselves well right now.
I mean, the
next generation is going to be really, really interesting.
Exactly.
Microsoft is obviously, when you're coming from behind, you don't have time to be hubris.
Yeah.
So you got to try new things.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It looks like they're working on that.
Exactly. And it's grabbing headlines. It'll be interesting to see how they use the space and what they do with it. E3, right around the corner, which is hard to say. But as I've already started to have E3 meetings and E3 calls,
I could not be happier.
I love it. It's just as right now as I'm trying to, right now I'm like, don't even fucking talk to me about PAX East. Let's get through GDC and then you can talk to me.
I don't know where I fit into this equation. You know, I kind of come into this light. I'm like, wow, what's E3 for me this year? I don't even know.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
You know?
Are you planning on going?
I'd like to.
Yeah.
But I really haven't laid anything out and it might be too late. So.
No, it's not, I mean, you can do stuff with us.
Yeah. Really?
I mean, I'm not going to pay you, but you can come down.
That's okay.
We'll figure it out. We'll talk off air. Number two, Monster Hunter World has finally detailed its first major update. I say finally because I can't wait. Kevin, have you heard everything?
Yeah.
Really? You heard everything about the Monster Hunter World update? Oh, wow. I didn't think you'd be on. Capcom put out a whole press conference, Twitch stream over in Japan this morning, 4 in the a.m. But here's what you got to know. March 16th, everybody's getting a free character edit voucher. Because you can't change your gender, your specific look, stuff like that. This will let you go in there one time only and go through and screw with your character the way you want it to.
This reminds me, I think it was Mike Drucker the other day on Twitter said that Armie Hammer looks like the default dude in every video game character maker ever.
Yeah.
I thought it was very funny.
It is. Drucker's very funny.
That's kind of a
nail on the head.
Kind of a tangent there, I realize.
I mean, it makes sense, right? If people who jumped in, like, I don't even know if I like this game, and they made a goofy character, and then they get hundreds of hours in, like, damn it.
Yeah.
No, I don't like how this looks at all.
Excellent.
March 22nd. Devil Jail. Is that how I should say it? We're going back and forth on this.
I always say Devil Jail.
Devil Jail.
But I don't think that's right.
Devil Jail. Devil Jail.
Devil
Jail. Devil Jail. Is coming on March 22nd. This is the big baddie, of course. They say bring Devil Home materials to the workshop and they'll be able to craft two complete armor sets, Vangus Alpha and Vangus Beta, as well as a new entry in each of the 14 existing weapon types, which is awesome. But he's the big bad guy that you've seen. If you want to, on the Monster Hunter subreddit, they broke out part of the stream and it's him fucking up a Betelgeuse, Basil Juice, but I call him Beetlejuice. Getting in there and just showing how much bigger and how much tougher he is. This is also when patch 2.0 will drop. This updates some weapons. It stops that carving griefing we were talking about yesterday, and it does a few other things like subtitle size and whatnot.
If you're a carving griefer, just get
out. Go to hell.
Get out.
You know what I mean? Do something better.
Yeah, that's...
April 5th through the 18th will be the Spring Blossom Festival. This will change how it looks around the Gathering Hub, give you some more food options.
Sakura!
Exactly.
Right.
Some cool stuff. Right now they're showing you visual tweaks to it. It'll be interesting to see what it actually means when we get there. April 6th, you can unlock materials to craft the Wyvern Ignition Greatsword.
Oh, that's Wyvern. Wyvern.
Wyvern?
Or Thank Wyvern.
You. Wyvern. Yeah.
Depending on how you say it.
Yeah. What should I say?
From here on out. I say Wyvern. Some people say Wyvern.
I always hear Wyvern for like the PAX Wyvern Theater.
That works for me.
All yeah. Right. I'll start saying Wyvern then.
It's a dragon with no four legs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like a two-legged dragon with just the wings. That's a Wyvern.
Oh, okay.
A Wyvern.
I've never looked into it.
Yep.
Wyvern, Ignition Greatsword. This is the winner of the community weapon design contest. And then April 13th through the 27th, the 27th being my birthday, of course, you can start getting your Mega Man Palico Voxel set. Going and running the quest and getting all that stuff together.
Adorable.
Oh, very cute. Yeah. And it's funny, like, when they announced it, I was like, okay, cool. And then months went by, got super into Monster Hunter. And I did the other day, I was like, wait, where is that Mega Man stuff?
I want Palico and Smash Brothers so bad.
Can you imagine?
That'd be more fun than the Monster Hunter. I just want Palico.
I think it'd be cool to have the Monster Hunter there and then, like, special attacks, kind of like the Pokemon, right?
Oh, really?
Like, yeah.
I'd actually want Palico to be the character.
No,
I'd rather play as Palico.
No good. No good. I don't want that at all. That's exciting. I like Monster Hunter. We have Monster Hunter questions coming up later in the show, so there's a tease for you. But continuing with the news, number three, Shadow of the Tomb Raider reportedly is going to be out this fall, but you know it's definitely getting teased right now. This is via Kotaku. A new teaser countdown from Square Enix promises big Tomb Raider news tomorrow, but a quick HTML check will give it to you right now. Shadow of the Tomb Raider is coming out this September.
Whoa!
Head to the official Tomb Raider website and you'll see a message promising an announcement on March 15th, 2018 at 6 a.m. Pacific time. Inspect the HTML, however, and you'll see an announcement early. It says tagline, this is HTML code, tagline, Shadow of the Tomb Raider is the climactic finale to Lara's origin story, available September 14th, 2018.
Exciting.
Very exciting. Yeah. I was watching that Tomb Raider flick last night, and I was like, all right, where the hell is Shadow of the Tomb Raider? I could go for another Tomb Raider game.
And now you know.
Now I know. It's right there.
You like that movie, right?
I did. I enjoyed it. It's a good action flick.
I haven't seen it yet.
So. You can. Well, yeah, it's coming out this weekend, I think. You can catch the review on the Kind of Funny Morning Show. Again, solid action movie. I enjoyed myself. If you like action flicks, good. They take liberties with the. It's not just the game story again. They do their own thing with it. And I was like, oh.
Any liberties you liked?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought I don't think the video game ending would have made sense in the way that for a movie. And so the way they tweaked that, I was like, you know what? That's a smart way to do it for a mainstream movie. But I digress. Are you excited about Shadow of the Tomb Raider?
I am, but let's call that a thoughtful or a hesitant excitement.
Ooh, why is that?
Because I liked things about the first two Tomb Raider games in the reboot, but I was not in love with either.
Really?
Of them. Yeah, especially the first one. I liked the second one better.
Oh, dude, I loved Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Yeah, I was not drawn to it. There were things about it I had reservations about. It is solid. I understand why people like it.
Yeah.
Actually, weirdly, I can be odd about this because some games I don't care about story at all. I had some story concerns, especially with the first one that frustrated me about that game.
Okay.
I thought once they'd left that baggage behind in the second one, it was definitely, I was more on board.
Sure.
I think they'll get this one right, but I've been both very pleased by parts of this reboot, and then I've been frustrated by other parts of this reboot.
Huh, okay.
So I will see.
I've adored this reboot.
Yeah.
I can't wait for more. The only concern would be the whole thing that it seems like, right, based on that subway photo, that this is the one that's running in conjunction with Crystal Dynamics down here, but Crystal's mainly focused on Avengers, so they're working up there with Square Enix Montreal, seems to be the rumor, right, that they're the ones really carrying the load, carrying the water for this, so we'll see what it comes down to. However, Garen writes in, and I think I said it right. He did a spelling of it right, but then he did phonetics.
Garen,
yeah.
Garen.
The way it did, I had to look at it and be like, wait,
okay, look at that.
I would have just said Garen, I think, in that one, but I appreciate either way, Garen. You got a weird name, and I appreciate that you know that. Garen wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, KFGD, with Square teasing a Shadow of the Tomb Raider reveal for tomorrow, this continues with the recent trend of announcing big fall games months before E3 with little fanfare. Are big reveals at E3 starting to become a thing of the past? Are publishers doing these early announcements to get them out before they leak, or are they trying to stake their claim on a release date, especially with Red Dead 2 coming out this year? What are your opinions on this practice? Thanks for the amazing content, Garen.
Well, I think the Red Dead argument that probably does bear at least a little weight. Nobody wants to be anywhere near that, and that does limit the release calendar for every other publisher on the planet Earth right now, because Red Dead is just this giant like black hole of gravity that nothing wants to get pulled into and destroyed by. We're all going to play Red Dead. But I don't think this is the end of E3 announcements. No, I think this is a September game, and you probably don't want to announce a September game in June.
Yeah.
I think that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Is that they want to release it then, and that's fine. I'm sure there will be plenty to talk about at E3. I'm not worried at all about that. You?
No, I agree with everything you're saying, and I think also you hit the nail on the head, Garen, saying big reveals at E3. I don't think Shadow of the Tomb Raider is a big reveal, and I'm not taking away from it. I can't wait. I love it, blah, blah, blah. But it's already been leaked, and there's already been two other games in this series, and with all due respect to those two other games, and this is as a fan, I think they've underperformed in terms of sales and getting a following. I think a lot of people have slept on those games, and I encourage everyone to play them. But I think they've done it now, twice at E3s? Or definitely on the Xbox stage where they come out and reveal Rise of the Tomb Raider and its exclusive window and all this different stuff, and it just doesn't set the world on fire. And so I don't think with this third one, in a franchise that hasn't gotten the fan base it deserves, I don't think you want to come out and be one of the, if conservatively, right, it's going to be, you figure Microsoft's going the same day, what, you're going to have like 30 to 60 games announced and teased that day, and like you're going to get lost in the shuffle. Yeah. So what everybody wants to do with games that already have a following and could get bigger is have their own beat, have their own day where everybody's talking about it. Yeah. And you know, Red Dead is God tier and doesn't need anybody to worry about, and will crush most things at E3. So they do their own thing to stay there on the way. This is that. It's the same thing with The Division, right? Yeah. Hey, everybody, we are doing The Division 2, and you will hear about it at E3, so that right now we get a beat to get everybody excited about it and not have to worry about, oh, man, I'm super excited about The Division 2, but my game of the show at E3 is this, and I can't wait for this, and oh, but this, and the Anthem, and that.
I agree with you. There's two kinds of ways to get excited about E3. I mean, you have those moments where, you know, suddenly Norman Reedus is clutching his weird baby, and you're like, oh my gosh, Silent Hills isn't dead. Well, it kind of is, but it turns out it's not, and we didn't know. Oh my goodness. But then when you're waiting for something, when you're sitting, yes, that surprise is amazing. But there's a lot to be said for, I can't wait to see the Tomb Raider trailer.
Yeah.
At E3.
Yeah.
Now that I know it's coming.
Yeah.
That's good too.
Yeah. I think both. It's just about, I think publishers and marketing are being better about, cool, we need this game of this caliber would be more successful if it avoids the traditional E3 announcement. How are we going to do that and get it out there?
A caliber, you say?
Yeah.
Could that be a Soul Calibur?
No. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm just kind of looking at a segue here.
We're getting there.
All right.
Number four. There is apparently some Witcher news incoming. This is via IGN. The Witcher's official Twitter account is teasing an announcement to come tomorrow, March 15th. Maybe he'll just be in Tomb Raider. You don't know. Quote. Kaer Morhen's old stones have witnessed many battles. Once more, they'll feel the sting of sparks as blades collide. Check back tomorrow, the tweet reads. While it's unclear if this announcement will be related to Marcin Momot's tease earlier this month. Did I nail that?
I think you got that
Marcin Momot's tease earlier this month. There is a possibility CD Projekt Red will reveal which game Geralt is set to cameo in. For our thoughts on what the game might be, check out the conversation below. You're saying Soul Calibur.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's too...
What about Smash Bros?
I think it's too early for Smash.
Yeah, well, he hasn't made his Nintendo Switch debut, right?
Exactly. I think... Well, no, he doesn't have to... I mean... Again, Cloud was in the last Smash. He's not in the Nintendo platform.
Yeah.
So you can totally have characters that aren't on the platform show up. I don't think that's a prerequisite at all. But no, it's just too early for that. They're already indicating they're going to show us what he's in, and it's too early for Smash. I think Soul Calibur makes perfect sense. And having Geralt of Rivia there, he's a good fit. He's a very popular character. The twin sword thing, you know, the fact that he switches off, how are they going to use that? That's really neat.
That'll be fun.
I think he's it's kind of a lock. I don't see him. If it is a surprise, I'm going to be thrilled because I like when things come out of left field like that. I'm just like, well, who knew that he was going to be in Scream Ride 2? I'm really on a Scream Ride.
God, you are on this Scream Ride train.
I just love him on the front of the roller coaster with his
arms.
That'd
be awesome.
You know, that's amazing.
Yeah. So there you go. Tomorrow you'll know.
Yeah.
Kind of Funny Games Daily.
But that does sound like, that sounds like a Soul Calibur intro. Like that little quote.
Well, I mean, you talk old stones, right? Yeah. And like all stuff and sting of winds. You
know. Once more, they'll feel the sting of sparks as blades collide. I love that stuff.
It does sound like it. Number five, one Jared Petty added while I was doing the morning show.
Yeah.
Street Fighter 30th anniversary includes special Switch mode. This is via US Gamer. The final version of Street Fighter 30th anniversary collection will include 12 games from across multiple generations of Street Fighter, from Street Fighter 2 all the way to Street Fighter 3 Third Strike. The collection even includes the original Street Fighter for posterity, parentheses, and dear God, it really does not hold up.
Yeah, it's a bad game.
Yeah?
I played that as a kid. Actually, our arcade had it before Street Fighter 2 came out. It had impact sensitive buttons. Instead of having like fierce and light, if you hit the button light, it was a light attack. If you hit the button hard, it was a fierce attack.
I don't like that at all.
Oh, it was terrible.
In the spirit of paying tribute to the arcade, Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection's borders are based around the original arcade cabinets, which really helped get you in the mood. Incidentally, I did see the Switch version, and I didn't see any appreciable differences in handheld mode, parentheses. Admittedly, there are probably some granular compromises that will wind up driving fighting games fans batty. As an interesting bonus, the Switch version includes Super Street Fighter 2, the Tournament Battle, an 8-player tournament mode formerly exclusive to Japan. 4 Switches take the place of the original networked arcade cabinets, with players rotating between different units after the completion of each round. It's a neat bit of history, if a rather convoluted way to run a tournament.
Okay, so I realize this is not big news. But
it's cool news.
It is. It's big news for me because I love video game history and preservation.
Of course.
And the fact that this is meant to be the ultimate arcade collection. There's actually going to be some stuff from the home ports that doesn't make it in.
Okay.
Like a lot of the stuff from Alpha 3 that was added for the PlayStation version won't be there. This is supposed to be the ultimate arcade collection of all these wonderful games. And the fact that they're like, and by the way, there were these four networked arcade machines just in Japan. Because if you go to a Japanese arcade, sometimes you'll see like these special arcade linked together Street Fighter machines or other fighting game machines. And they're like, we had this giant one that had four cabinets, eight players all playing at once in tournament mode, rotating around the machine. And that they're like, if you have four Switches in a room, you can do that because it existed. I love it. I think it's digital.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's from Digital Eclipse that did Mega Man Legacy Collection.
Yeah.
And they really do. It's funny, Digital Eclipse a long time ago, not renowned for great emulation, but once Cifaldi and those guys got involved, they've come down really hard and turned it into, they're just like, you know what, we're going to do everything right here. I'm really excited about this. And so I want to see, I'm glad they were willing to give such minute attention to such a granular piece of history to be like, by the way, this happened. We put it in. Are we ever going to make money on this? No way. But it's there anyway because we have fidelity to the product. Also, Greg, let's get four Switches in a room when this game comes out.
Sure.
And have an eight-player tournament.
Okay.
You want to do this?
Yeah, sure.
Get around and rotate this thing?
Yeah, it's easy.
I'm in. All right.
Okay, cool.
Totally. It's going to be great.
You'll kick my butt. I'm not good.
I'm terrible at Street Fighter. I'm terrible. I love it, but I'm really bad.
Okay.
Yep. Who's your man?
Oh, no. I'm not even that good. I'm just not a fighting game guy.
Okay.
I just stay away from. Couldn't even play Injustice.
Well, the nice thing about Street Fighter 2 is that you don't have to be a fighting game guy to be good at it. I think that's one of the reasons it was so popular.
Yeah.
Is that you can master Street Fighter 2, but it's a really fun game to be casual at.
Okay. Well, I'll give it another shot with you in this tournament.
All right, we're going to do this.
Number six, another Jared Petty jam. Skyrim VR is coming to PC. This is via IGN. The Elder Scrolls V Skyrim VR, which initially launched last year exclusively for the PlayStation VR, will come to Steam VR with support for both the HTC Vive and the Oculus Rift on April 3rd. In an official post announcing the release, Bethesda said that Skyrim VR will include the entire base game and all of its DLC expansions, the same as the PlayStation VR version did.
Main piece of news here that's interesting to me, and just a note, is this now means they're moving into Oculus. That's the part of the article that's important, is that previously Bethesda, Oculus has not been their jam.
Yeah.
And now Bethesda is making an Oculus game.
Nice.
So, just worth noting.
That's cool. Yeah. And I know a lot of people love Skyrim VR. With my PlayStation VR, I never ever tried it or screwed around with it, just because I had my fill of Skyrim, and I don't want to go wander around right now.
I don't remember who said the quote, and I'm gonna get the quote wrong here, but it was something to the effect of, it is both the best way to experience and the worst way to play Skyrim. And I think that's a fascinating. Right there, I'm in. I like flawed experimental experiences.
Sure.
That's one of the reasons I think VR is so rad, is because right now we're just like, we don't know how to make game,
you know?
And yet people are, because of that, we're finding neat ways to do that. It's very much like looking back at the beginning of computer gaming when people were just like, we don't know how to make a game, so we'll just try some stuff.
Yeah.
And there's some amazing ideas, you know, like we don't have sound coming out of this thing, but it makes electromagnetic radiation. So if I put a AM radio next to it and tune to this channel, I can make sound come out. So I'll write sound into my video game and you can play it through the radio sitting next to your computer. That was a commercial product.
Yeah.
People made multiple games that used that. And we're in that.
That's
space
what gets me
VR
so
right
excited
now.
For VR.
Yeah.
Is the fact that, and I again why hats off to PlayStation on the way they've promoted this and set this all up of like, yep, this is Gen 1 technology. This is PlayStation 20 years ago.
Yep.
We don't know if it'll work. But if it does, imagine where you're going to be in 20 years.
Yep.
And that is the thing of like, what happens when, I mean, like, I, you know, for me, Moss is the first game I played where I'm like, oh, this is like a real game. Like, this isn't an experience. We aren't tinkering with something. Like, this isn't on rails. You know what I mean? Like, it's a merging of what I know about traditional video games from my entire life and now this new VR experience. And that's cool. And I want to see more of that line get blurred and what people make with it.
Yeah, I was just talking to my friend Jesse about this the other day, and he was saying he's waiting. He's like, I totally see where it's going. But I'm waiting to plug into real virtual reality. Give me a gen or two from now.
Sure.
Whereupon I'm just like, no way, man. I want to be in here when it's all like broken and janky. That sounds great.
Yeah. It won't be as much fun when it's all wireless and you put it on and it's just, you take for granted that everything works.
It will probably be more fun.
But, oh, it'll be way more fun. But right now, I'm like, hey, is this game good? No, it's complete trash. Well, that fucking, I didn't know that one.
It makes me throw up, but it's really cool.
Exactly. Jared.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the future of VR, but the future of VR is so far away. If I wanted to know what came to digital mom and grop game shops today, where would I go?
I think I'd go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday, Monday through Friday. It doesn't matter what day of the week, holidays occasionally accepted.
At today, Florence is on Android. I can't recommend you play it and buy it enough.
It's now, on mine right now.
Yeah,
I got a hero this morning.
Have you started it?
Florence is great. Okay, I'm into Florence.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Not out today is the Fortnite patch. Fortnite tweeted, "We've discovered an issue that will prevent us from releasing V3.3 tomorrow, March 14th. We're working on solving that problem now, and we'll update you once we know more." Over at IGN, they say Activision is celebrating all things green with Irish this St. Patrick's Day with a seasonal community event, and this is in Call of Duty. Call of Duty World War II. Operation Shamrock and Awe, which includes a zombie leprechaun lurking on multiplayer maps. The event is live right now and includes limited time St. Patrick's Day themed gear. A couple of new weapons will also roll out. They list them. I'm not going to. And while the St. Patrick's Day variants will disappear at the end of the event, the weapons themselves will remain.
Operation Shamrock and Awe.
That's good. That's clever.
Oh,
but it's a World War II game, so it's always that weird thing of putting that stuff in there.
Oh.
I like it. I think it's fine.
I'm just flashing back to the Bush presidency right now.
Oh, sure. Of course. Yeah. Who would have known we would look back on those days favorably?
Sharon Bagora.
The American Dream comes to PlayStation VR. This is the game, of course, where your hands are guns. And you open beer cans with your gun and all these different things.
I have not played this, need to.
It made a splash when the debut trailer came out, and it was like it was out on a pier and there was a barbecue grill. And the guy reaches in the cooler and with the gun and brings up a beer and then shoots the top of the beer and then shoots the burger patties to flip the burger patties and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, I need to play this. Sounds great.
Yeah, I forget. I saw someone today on the rounds put up a review and like, it misses the mark. But I'm like, I don't know. It's shooting stuff with fake gun hands. So what I don't want
to. Hamartia. It misses the mark.
Mm. The Long Reach is on PC. And then Harmonium is on PC as well. New dates for you. The official Metal Gear Orchestral Concert Series will premiere outside of Japan in 2018, starting in Los Angeles on October 10th, before moving into New York on October 13th, and in Paris on October 28th.
But not San Francisco.
No. You can go down to Los Angeles. It's a cheap flight. You can get there. Oh,
man. I just wanted to play bum, 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 for 2 hours. Like, just play that theme over and over again.
Sega Genesis Classics is set to release both digitally and physically for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, on May 29th, 2018, the collection has over 50 retro classics to experience across every genre. To which, GameX173 wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and said, "Hey, Kind of Funny crew, quick question for Greg and Jared, but are you going to play Sega Genesis Classics when it comes out in May? I, too, was a Sega kid growing up, and even though they release one of these collections every few years, the trailer for this one got me hyped. If they make this with compelling trophies, I think it's going to be a must-buy. What do you think? Will you be getting the Platinum for Sega Genesis Classics?" Gary, he thinks Gary was going to be on today's on.
I am Gary. This is just Gary in a Jared suit.
Oh, wow, okay.
Gary would easily fit.
Great job hiding your accent, Gary.
Gary doesn't have an accent. Actually, I'm making this up all the time. Gary's not from Britain.
Oh.
Yeah.
You went a different way.
Gary
with the
was
world
born
building.
In Vermont.
Oh, my gosh.
He's born in Vermont.
Okay.
Yeah. He's inside here right now.
Okay.
Running all this. There's a little zipper in the back of my neck there. That's where the little fat fold in the back of my head is.
The zipper?
This is where the zipper's hidden.
Jared/Gary, are you going to play Sega Genesis Classic? Sorry, man.
Absolutely, I'm going to play it. Actually, I'm not sure if this is a port or not. There's a version on Steam right now that's I've got the name here, the Sega Mega Drive and Genesis Classics.
Uh-huh.
And I already have that.
Okay.
My new video has some clips that I just grab right out of that.
Nice.
I play a lot of games on PC. People have asked me before about like trophies and why I don't care.
Yeah.
One of the reasons would be like, well, why didn't you just get the easy platinum in Telltale? Because I put it on PC.
Yeah.
And just don't care, even though Steam has trophies. The one I have is pretty good. It's got a neat little metaphor of like a little living room there that you're sitting down in, and has cool screen bending effects on the TV. But my favorite part about playing on Steam is mods. Like, I have a Streets of Rage mod that somebody just modded the Ninja Turtles into Streets of Rage 2.
Oh, wow. All right.
It's great. So he was running around at Donatello beating the crap out of people. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Even though his bow makes the reach is just makes that game so easy.
Sure.
But it's a lot of fun there. I'll be playing this either on PS4 or Xbox One as well. I like compilations when they're well done. That one, as it exists on Steam right now, is a competent, fairly well done compilation. There's things about it that aren't perfect, but there's things about it I really like. It's got a lot of good games in that collection. I don't know if this is direct.
Exactly. Port. Yeah. I was looking around. There's a trailer up today, but nobody had listed all 50 of the games.
Yeah. So
I was
staying away from it. Yeah. Like, I'm wondering, is like, are Alien Soldier and Dynamite heady in this one or not? I was trying to confirm that this morning, or Beyond Oasis, which are all games you absolutely want to play if you're getting a good Mega Drive collection. But even with what I did see confirmed on the list, the Genesis is great. When I was a kid, I didn't know how great the Genesis was. I loved the Master System as a kid.
Few did.
I had an NES, but my friend had a Master System, and I thought it was like bodacious.
Yeah.
That version of Double Dragon, yep. Phantasy Star, so many good games in that system. I absolutely.
Alex Kidd.
Yeah, you got to. Alex Kidd is not a good game.
It was, but for us Sega fanboys, it was, man. We had something, all right? We had something special there.
You could be playing Dragon's Curse.
I could have been, but I wasn't. I
was playing or that wonderful Shinobi port. Anyway, there's a lot of good stuff in Master. But Genesis had great games, and I didn't know it because for a long time, Sega marketed that thing like, here's Sonic and some sports games.
Gotta get Genesis.
And I had no idea I was missing like General Chaos and Gunstar Heroes and Shadow Dancer and all these awesome games that are on
Genesis has great games, yes. I'm not excited for this collection at first blush, even though I'm a Sega kid, because I feel like the PS3 version was so great, and I got the platinum in that, and it was an easy platinum. Is the platinum going to be easy in here? Maybe, but I don't know if I'm going to be... I remember doing the fucking Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine fucking middle of the night trying to get that trophy, because you had to use a save state to then get in to do it, but then, oh, God.
It's just Puyo Puyo, right, Dr. Robotnik? So you really did play it for the platinums?
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Because it was like you had to play the game... Well, I mean, I enjoyed it as well. Like, there were certain games I enjoyed on it, but it was, just jump through and do whatever 5-minute thing you had to do.
Does
for every
anybody really want to play Flicky for a platinum?
I mean, if it's easy.
Okay. Wow. I don't get it, man.
Runbo is coming to PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch worldwide on April 24th digitally. The game will also be hitting retail a bit later on June 14th as a deluxe edition, which will include all the DLCs and nice physical goodies to be announced at a later stage. Toki Tori comes to Nintendo Switch on March 30th. Emily Wants to Play 2 comes to PlayStation 4 on April 24th. And then Noctis from Final Fantasy 15 is coming to Tekken 7 next Tuesday, March 20th. Bandai Namco confirmed today.
That actually hurts me a little because I was really hoping for Noctis in Smash Brothers, no joke. And if he's in Tekken,
that disqualifies
makes him a lot harder to show up in Smash. Not impossible, but Noctis would be like a great Smash character. He fits that aesthetic. He almost looks like an action figure already.
Sure.
So he'd work really well in that world. But he'll be great in Tekken, and Tekken's a great series. So.
Okay, we'll see what happens there. Time for reader mail, but first I need to tell you it's brought to you by patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. That's right, no real sponsor this week, so we're sponsoring ourselves. If you like what we've been doing, bringing people like Jared and Andrea and Gary and Danny O'Dwyer, God rest his soul. Aww. And then of course how we've reformatted the games cast, done party mode, all these amazing things, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Show your appreciation there by tossing us a buck. Of course, that would get you party mode early. It would get you tomorrow's PlayStation VR show early. It would get you the ability to watch the games cast live as we record it tomorrow. It's Tim Geddes, Jared Petty, and Mike Biffle.
Okay, before you go on, did you just draw Superman's logo on your page?
Whenever I listen to anybody on the show, I usually doodle a Superman symbol. Yeah,
yeah, every time. Yeah. This is the first time I've seen it. I didn't realize that. That's rad.
Yeah, thank you. I'm a rad person. That. People like me.
Yeah, son of Jor-El, Neil before Zod.
Krypton coming up soon, you know.
Yeah, very excited about Krypton.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You and I haven't talked about this yet. I'm close. I without trying to be presumptuous.
Sure.
I think I'm close to the Superman fan you are.
Ooh.
I really love Superman.
Okay.
So we're going to have some Superman love at some point here. I was very excited to see that.
Off the air, I'll tell you something then. Show you something.
Oh, exciting.
Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. If you already support us there, thank you. Consider giving us an extra buck for the month. Why not? If you like what we've been doing, tip jar kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Ralph from Chicago writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hi, KFGD crew.
Hi.
What Andrea said in a recent show about Destiny 2 not delivering got me thinking. How far can a developer/publisher push their community until all their goodwill goes away? It just seems like regardless of what Bungie does with the new Destiny 2 updates, the community could seem to care less. Does it even matter as long as they drop a killer DLC update in May, or do they burn bridges after all the setbacks post-launch? It just seems different this time around compared to the vanilla Destiny post-launch support versus this year's Destiny 2 launch. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Seems like certain video game communities are flourishing while others are breaking down based on business practices. Sonic still seems to have support after years and years of abuse. Lots of love, Ralph from Chicago.
I like the Sonic comment. That's good.
It's a multifaceted discussion, Ralph from Chicago. Of course, Sonic, I think, yeah, you're all bound together by your love on the Genesis, and then year after year, something doesn't go right for Sonic.
There's some Stockholm syndrome you get to Sonic love.
You get
at
to
some
be
point.
Bad news Bears, right? Where it's just like how I feel about the Chicago Bears. They're a terrible team, but I always cheer for them and care, right? Because I've just been there forever.
Nice that they finally got a good game recently.
Sonic, of course. For Destiny, you're bringing up the fact that you didn't feel like it was this toxic or upset in when vanilla Destiny was waiting for that first big DLC. The problem here is that I think for the Destiny fans, and I can't speak for them, as I love Destiny 2 and I enjoy Destiny 1, but I was never hardcore about it. I feel the difference here is that Destiny 2 was marketed as, we've listened to you, we've fixed everything, we've learned all our lessons, let's do this. And so they came out, and the fix people were willing to forgive them for with Destiny 1, you're not willing to forgive them for with Destiny 2 because you've done this before. How did you fuck up shaders this bad? How did you get this? How did you do... Like, the community expected greatness out of this because they've had an at bat before, but instead they struck out.
Well, I feel like everything you said is true, and a counterpoint to that is also true. This is a paradox situation. Mm-hmm. I agree with everything you just said. I also think I joked about Stockholm syndrome earlier, but I think that ironically that community hangs around and gripes because Destiny 1 made a lot of missteps, and they've come to expect that from the brand to a point. Like, well, yeah, I can hang around for a while, give them some time. And yes, I get mad and I gripe and I walk away, but I'm ready to leap back in May because it's Destiny. Whereupon sometimes other brands can't necessarily get away with that, particularly first gen brands.
Sure.
So I agree with what you said. It was marketed as, hey, we fixed everything and people are very frustrated. But I do wonder if a big content drop happens, if a lot of Destiny people come back. I don't understand Destiny fans. I've tried. I think it's not my game.
Yeah.
But
you get the hooks of it.
I get the hooks. I just think there's better ways to play games right now than that. And so I don't understand the loyalty, the fierce loyalty, the keep coming back to get stepped on again and again and again. I would say the
argument there, right, is the fact that it's very similar to what I talk about with internet communities in general, right? Yeah. Or internet commenters in general, where it's a vocal minority that gets up there to stand up. Mm-hmm. For a lot of Destiny 2 players, I would imagine the majority of them fall into the camp that I did, where played it, enjoyed it, and put it down.
Yeah.
And I don't think back angrily about my Destiny 2. I enjoyed it. But there's a community on the subreddit and on the Bungie forums that was so in love with the first game and had so many great memories with the first game. And you know, it is that badge of honor that I've been here from the beginning. I've been here from the first alpha.
Yeah.
And I've seen it get better or get worse and this, that, and the other. That when you get to this thing, they are the most critical of it. It's the same thing with me being a member of the Friday the 13th game community, right?
Yeah.
Where that subreddit is vicious to the developers and where the fuck are dedicated servers? They're lying about this, yada, yada. But they're still playing it and they're still stoked for Double XP weekend.
Yeah.
Because it isn't the vitriol and the words they're using, right, are expressing anger, but it's anger through passion for the product and the community and the game.
Yeah, and with something like Friday the 13th, I think the guys get a little more of a pass because there's so much love in that game.
Sure.
I mean, the guys at Gun love Friday the 13th, right. That it seeps through in a lot of what's going on in that project. But I think about Destiny, and I think that while what you're saying is true about, yeah, people are just, they had fun, they walk away, that's that. I do think that narrative might be getting a little old, not just around Destiny, but, and this has to do with marketplace. This would be my second point here, is timing. The fact is everybody's jumping on that games as a service bandwagon right now.
Right.
And there is far more competition in that space and on the horizon in that space than there was when Destiny 1 launched.
100% correct.
People's patience, there are limits.
Yeah.
And we're finally seeing some of those, there's finally accountability to developers and publishers for some of this stuff that didn't exist. So we talk about the vocal minority, and yeah, you're going to hear people talking about that. But a lot of those folks like you that just walk away, well, that's almost as hurtful to the company's financial future as the people who get angry.
And that's a great point.
Yeah.
What about when Destiny 2 does drop this DLC, but what if I'm not done with Monster Hunter? What if Friday the 13th drops some content that now I have different games that are Division 2 isn't out, but maybe I'm already in the Division thing to get ready for Division 2.
Yeah, you got better options.
The
now.
People who've done it right that I care more about are doing yep. it right again, and I'm going to go with them rather than jump into to see this thing.
And that's why I think that this matters.
Yeah.
I think that the age of us going, well, you know, this is where we're going to go because it's what's out there. And yeah, I had my fun and yeah, I walked away and I'll come back. But now, will we come back? I'm not yeah. so sure anymore. There's yeah. when there's better options out there, why go back?
Yeah, and that's a great point. I mean, that's what I think is rung true about DLC in general. And I'm not even talking about games as service. Just like even, I know it's blasphemy, but I was, you know, when I beat Zelda, I was like, man, I can't wait for that DLC drop. And that DLC came and I was like, you know, I'm playing other things. I'm in a different place and I've never gone back to get my motorbike.
Oh, no kidding.
No, and it's like, I love man. Zelda. That doesn't take away from Zelda. But on the flip of it, when like, well, there's a rumor that there's going to be a Luigi's Mansion World for Mario Odyssey. I'm like, I will fucking stop everything to go play that when that drops.
But what's the difference for you? Is it a bike versus Luigi's Mansion level?
For me, it's the level, but I mean, again, full disclosure, right? I thought Mario Odyssey was my game of the year last yeah. year. And I just love that game so much. And I also feel like dropping back into Mario Odyssey is going to be a quicker get me back up to speed than Zelda.
Absolutely.
Whereas for me to drop it, like Jen played Zelda, you know, well after I did, after she had her Switch with Mario Odyssey. And so like she'd hit, how did you do this? And I'd be like, oh, I don't remember at all how I did that. And I'm talking about like gameplay mechanics, not like how do I beat this divine beast.
Would you rather, here's 60 second tangent.
Sure.
Would you rather have DLC for Mario Odyssey in September or October, mm-hmm. or would you rather have Mario Odyssey 2 in late 2019 or early 2020?
I mean, I would probably go for the sequel, right? Okay. Just to expand it. Because it's that thing of, I know I love Odyssey. I know there's still, I have still so many moons to get in Odyssey. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, because my thing is like, I'll do it as a plane game. Now you got me, I have to play Undertale on this next plane ride tomorrow. Like, I got all the stuff you're
yeah.
making me do.
Oh, yeah, get the challenge for Undertale.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man, I hope it's a long plane ride because that game.
No, it's to LA, but I have downtime in LA. Okay. And again, it's just, now I'm committed. Let's just get me started.
Yeah, you got to get rolling. Started. The thing with Undertale is it takes a while to seep in what's happening.
Okay.
That game, I don't want to call it a slow burn. That's not right.
Yeah, yeah.
That is just a game that's meant, it's designed for people who are only playing one game at a time,
yeah.
which is the part I worry about.
Well, I'm going to commit to it. I'm going to commit to it.
Once you get in there, you're like, wait a minute. Oh, I see it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I have moons to get in Mario now. There's still more Mario content for me to get to anytime I want to.
Okay.
But having brand new worlds and brand new everything and blah, 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 that'd be awesome. Yeah. I just want more Mario Odyssey at some point.
I want more Mario. Although I said early 2020, probably be late 2020 for a full sequel.
That's my scare. Yeah. That's the scare, right? It'll be way out even if we get it then.
Yeah. But if that, I don't know. I can't decide if they want to do a Galaxy 2 thing or do DLC. I think both have their merits.
Yeah.
Mario Odyssey was a very special game for me. I think I'd give Zelda the edge in the historical game of the year type context, sure. but it's not much of an edge. I think that Mario Odyssey meant more to me
yeah.
than any game did last year.
And that's why I think in probably 5 years you'll look back and cry because you'll be like, I sold out Mario Odyssey. It was game of the year, but we gave it to Zelda instead. I ruined that for a lot of people.
I wasn't.
And I'm
Jared
Petty
that.
And I ruined. No, I just mean and just a whole bunch of people will do this.
Oh, yeah.
Don't worry, everybody.
Everybody?
Dice Awards.
Yeah.
Game Awards.
All right.
Kind of funny. I'll be sitting there laughing. Kevin and I will be there laughing that we were right and everybody else was wrong, but they were too blinded by Divine Beast to worry about it and their Sheikah Slate.
That Sheikah Slate was pretty cool.
It was pretty
cool.
That
Wii U gamepad.
Great game. I mean, it's like, I'm not mad. I'm just saying, whatever. Mr. Potato Head writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey guys, so I was wondering if past mediocre Spider-Man games can harm the success of #SpiderManPS4, both commercially and critically. Because how will the average Joe know that this time it's the real deal, a big budget AAA game with a competent developer, and not the same old, same old? Also, what's your prediction on how it will fare critically and commercially?
Ooh, good thought.
I don't think Spider-Man games from the past will not harm this game in the slightest because people get super stoked for Spider-Man games. It's been a while since the Spider-Man game.
Yeah.
And when you think of Spider-Man games, me personally, and I would imagine most people are way more inclined to think about the rad Spider-Man games they played than the ones they played that they didn't enjoy.
Like that awesome Atari 2600 one where you're climbing a building and the Green Goblin's at the top.
Nailed it.
I actually really like that.
Yeah, game. No, for me, I immediately jumped to Spider-Man 2, which of course had a shitty story, but was open world Spider-Man. And we mm-hmm. all loved it and played it like crazy people, right? Or you jump to Spider-Man Sega Genesis for myself, that being one that stands out. I know a lot of people do not agree with me on Web of Shadows and love Web of Shadows.
What about in that one version of Shinobi for Genesis, where you fight Spider-Man, Batman, and Godzilla in the same game as a ninja.
I don't remember that, and that sounds really awesome. Yeah.
Spider-Man is in, he's an enemy in one of the Shinobi games.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He's a boss, along with Batman and Godzilla.
That's still awesome. That's all awesome.
Fantastic. We have to play that sometime.
Okay, sounds great. All right. Anyway. I think what'll stand out, and I think people will be excited. And I think when they see it, I mean, I personally, and I don't mean to be a dick to anybody else who made a Spider-Man game, just watching the trailers or the cutscenes or whatever, you're like, this is on another level. I think that'll speak when you see this trailer during an NBA game.
I agree with you. I think that people are not going to remember the bad games because it's been too long. Also, we just got the best Spider-Man movie ever, and that can't hurt either.
Yeah.
People are going to have good Spider-Man on the brain.
Yeah, we'll be on this tear of Marvel. Yeah,
Infinity War. God knows that Infinity War is going to be good or terrible, but Spider-Man's going to be awesome in it. I think that's... Spider-Man's been good in every moment he's appeared in a Marvel movie far. So yeah. I think that's going to...
And then prediction on critical and commercial success. Critical, I'd prefer not to launch into. I don't think we've seen enough of that game. I think it's going to do well based on the little bit we had, but I don't... Until we've played it, until we've seen more, I don't know what you say about that. I think Insomniac's incredibly talented. I think they're doing the right thing here with the license. I'm excited. Commercially, I think this thing's going to do gang fucking busters. I think this thing is going to go crazy and sell like a mad.
Yeah, I think it'll do well. Assuming it's not a flub for some reason. I think
exactly. That'd be the only thing that holds it back. But I mean, I don't imagine that happening. And then I imagine it doing... I mean, you have to... I mean, it's a PlayStation 4 exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to imagine it does, and this could be crazy, stick with me, but I think even that's selling it short. I think it's going to do better than Horizon, right?
Yeah.
A new IP from Guerrilla, like that. Horizon, fucking amazing game, don't get me wrong, but this is it has the brand recognition of Spider-Man, one of the most, if not the most popular Marvel heroes.
Oh, yeah, I think the most popular
Marvel hero. And then it's got, behind that, it's got Insomniac, and then it's got, like, you assume if they don't fuck it up, and it's a great game. The only thing that would stop it, you figure, is how many people who played a game like Horizon are going to look at this and be like, well, I don't like comic books, I don't like comic book movies, I don't like comic book games.
I think that 10 million lifetime is not beyond the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
I think 10 million copies lifetime is really possible for this game.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I can't wait. Fucking put a release date on it, Brian. You know what I mean? Ted Price just sitting there. I bet the game's done. Ted Price is just like, I don't want to put it out yet.
Oh, he's just sitting there?
He's just sitting there. I want to torture everybody.
Playing it at his desk.
Sons of bitch. I know they are. They all play. They take it home. And they tweet about playing it all weekend at home.
That's so mean.
They're assholes. Insomniac, bunch of assholes. Who I love. Just put it out. You know what I mean? Let's do those Monster Hunter questions I teased earlier. Pickle writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, good morning, you big mooses. Greg, my question is for you. Yay. As a fellow trophy hunter, I'm curious where your progress is and if you will get the platinum in Monster Hunter World. As much as you love the game and as many hours as you have on it, I hope you will get it. Catch a can, Pickle. P.S. Florence just released on Android today, and I will be getting it thanks to you and Brittany Bomber Rocker, and Tim's Get Hype Gettys. Thanks for the recommendation. No problem. Enjoy Florence.
Get it, Pickle. Got it right here.
I get the Monster Hunter World Platinum. It will be similar to The Division, I think. Because last night I jumped into optional quests on it, and I did them, and I completed them all, but then I have some blue ones. I'm like, oh, fuck, I gotta go. Shit. And it's like, you know what? I think this is a good point for me to stop, play Undertale on this plane ride, play Batman when I get back, and then when it drops on the 22nd, get back in for that big beast. Sure. What are you? You're not going to fight the big beast with me, Kevin? You're going to fight the big beast with me. You're what I like to call a video game pushover. If I'm excited for something and I tell you, let's go play something, you're going to come play it with me.
Or a good friend.
Sure. That's a more positive way, I guess, to frame it.
Yeah, I like that second one a little better.
Anyways, Far Cry 5, though, is the other big one, too. Huh?
No way. Those crowns are way too hard.
That's what I'm saying.
That's
the
game. It's
like, so to Pickle's thing, well, I get the platinum. My progression on it right now is what? I'm a little over 50% of the platinum. Two things that I know on my horizon that I need to knock out are that I have two more silver trophies for getting the cuddly creatures. The birds that only randomly appear on herbivore back once in a while.
Yeah, you'll get those eventually.
Yeah, I'm just keeping my eye open when I play Fortnite, carrying the ghillie suit and the capture thing with me. And then there's another monster. The thing that's on the back of the pig, the moss swine that I need to get.
What's that thing called? I forget.
They only spawn sometimes. I'll look at them as I play all these different things. But as Kevin continues to point out, the crowns are the part. You gotta get the big gold and the little ones. And you gotta go through, like, I feel what's gonna happen is they're gonna mess with the drop rates. And I bet if I want to keep my ear to the ground on the subreddits and stuff, they'll be like, all right, cool, today it's really, or like this week, this quest is really dropping crowns.
They're going to call it the crowning achievement weekend.
Exactly. But if I ever get it, it'll be very much like The Division, where I take months off, I bet, and then I come back and I'm like, I'm close enough, let's go. But even still, like, there's kill 500 monsters. Like,
How many hours are you up to now?
I think I just hit 130 yesterday.
You're going to make 200.
I'll get there eventually, yeah. But again, it'll be like Division, I bet. So nobody fucking be like Kevin over there being all fucking high and mighty doing the crown thing. Kevin's never achieved anything. He's over there.
Don't be mean to Kevin. No,
he's being mean to me. He's being mean to me.
Yeah, why would you want a platinum?
The almighty Foofy says, Gregory fucking Miller. I'm dive bombing this rapid fire question barrage specifically for you, like a basil juice, but I say Beetlejuice, interrupting your hunts. It's Monster Hunter related. Favorite monster? I answered these ahead of time since he said he was doing it.
Okay.
Favorite monster? I said Legiana. I like that guy a lot.
I like Burya.
He's cool. Okay, sweet. Yeah. Least favorite monster you've hunted? I said Diablos. I hate the fucking Diablos. They're annoying and they piss me off. Hardest hunt you've had this far, of course, is Kieran. That level 50 Kieran. Jesus Christ. Thanks. Keep on consummating your union with that domesticated poultry.
Fun fact about Kieran, not only a difficult monster, but also a delicious beer.
I love Kieran.
Yeah.
It's really good. We did the Kieran factory tour when we were in Japan.
Oh, no kidding.
It's amazing.
Oh,
it's
yeah. Awesome. Kieran's great.
Yeah. I love it. Mm. Great stuff. Bought these great little pint glasses. And now over the years, I think I got like two left maybe because they've just broken as they've gone.
Other fun fact about Kieran, in addition to being a mythical creature and a delicious beer, it's also the Japanese word for giraffe.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I want to find, let's see what we got here. We got three questions left here. We got Harry J, Osaka Banana. Oh, Osaka Banana gets it. He's going to be the final question of the show.
All right.
Osaka Banana writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, what game is a good gateway drug to Japanese culture-based games? Ooh. I am a foreigner working in Japan, and my colleagues always talk about JRPGs. It always piques my interest to play, but I feel overwhelmed after. Any suggestions? Arigato.
I got a few.
I figured you were the man for this.
Yeah, it's just good gateway drugs. If you're not crazy about RPGs and you find them frightening, but you want to get a Japanese culture game, Catherine is an excellent intro.
There you go.
Because it feels like hanging out in a bar in Japan half the time, and the other half you're just climbing stacks and being chased by sheep.
Sure.
So that's fine. Or
coming out soon to Vita.
Exactly. Chrono Trigger is always a good gateway drug for JRPGs because it's very accessible. You understand the mechanics immediately. It's just as good as everybody says. It's charming. You can play a lot of different places. So that's a fun way to get into it.
What I would say, right, because he's talking about being overwhelmed by JRPGs.
Yeah.
He's saying a good gateway drug to Japanese culture-based games.
Yeah.
I think for me personally as a reviewer when I started doing stuff, Yakuza.
That's I had that on my
because Yakuza is action. It's there's RPG mechanics to it, but I mean it's not like turn-based JRPGs. It's walk through fucking red light district, pick up a motorcycle and hit people in the face with
it. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, Yakuza, and when you play it, you always hear the GTA comparisons.
Yeah.
But it's not, it is, Yakuza's its own thing.
It's like its own genre.
So. Yeah, I don't know how to define Yakuza, but it is delightful, and I think that any of the more recent Yakuzas are great gateway drugs because they all stand on their own.
Yeah.
You don't have to be seeped in Yakuza lore.
They're always good about all right, cool, this guy is this connection to you, and that's why you love him or hate him.
What other game can you co-run a bowling alley with a chicken in?
Exactly.
That's really a pretty good
watch one. The old lady in her scooter hit the guy, flip over on her scooter and land and keep driving.
Exactly. So yeah, Chrono Trigger if you want to do our JRPG route. Catherine if you're intimidated by RPGs. Yakuza is an excellent answer. I think those are three really good places to start. There's plenty of others, but I think that's a good answer there.
Well, then it's time to squad up, ladies and gentlemen. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in video games. Today, Andrew needs help on Xbox One. His Xbox Live username, all one word, MechaShadow12. Hi, best friends. I need help with the new GTA Online facility heists. People online, well, they just don't know how to follow directions, and I just want to complete them on normal and have some fun people without dying / leaving the group all the time. Would also love to have some people to play Overwatch and Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2 with. If that sounds like you, ladies and gentlemen, on Xbox One, hit up Andrew, MechaShadow12.
Greg, am I being salty today?
Do you feel like being salty today, Jared Petty?
I'm ready to be salty. We got a challenge last week. Somebody said, hey, you want to hear me say some salty things? Do some mean things?
And you got 1 minute, we decided.
Yeah, 1 minute.
To do for Jared to have some salt.
I don't even need 1 minute for this one. It's not going to take long at all.
Okay.
You ready?
Three, two, one, go.
I love games on mobile that I pay for once and don't have to buy anything for ever again. Lots and lots of people in gaming communities tell me the same thing. And yet, when I go to my Android mobile store on Google Play and I look at the number of downloads for games that are available at one set price, I see that they aren't receiving many downloads. Some great games with only 5,000 downloads on the store. You can't make a living as a single mobile developer on 5,000 downloads of your buy at one time game. It can't be done. If we want this to happen, if we want to move away from the little penny pinching practices of mobile games, we got to buy them. There's great games out there. Nobody's buying them. We need to buy them. End of story.
Buy Florence. How many times do we have to say it? It's great. Get it. Buy it. It's on Android now. Maybe one day it'll be on Switch, but we don't know. Buy it on iOS and Android.
That's my salty rant.
That was good. That was real short. Yeah, you didn't yell. I mean, look at that. You just hit 50 seconds. And that's even with me yelling on top of it.
All right, I'm good with that.
Give me a pound.
I like it.
I love you, Jared.
You know, I'm always ready to pound you, Greg.
Okay, well, now it's weird. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, we ask you people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up in the show as we go live so that we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listening on podcast services around the globe. S. Butler immediately tries to say something wrong in another episode. We don't care. That's too far away. Kebabs writes in and says, I feel Greg is wrong that certain not your wrongs aren't allowed. Other frequently accepted your wrong types include expanded factual information, missed release dates, breaking news, and affirmations that the host was right about something. It is up to the host reading the thread what posts they should skip. Tim is the most discerning, I've noticed.
That is the most meta you're wrong I've ever heard. That's great.
Yeah, I like that one. Yeah. You're good, Kebab. You're a good point. All right, I'm wrong about that. Titan Meteor writes in and says, just to try to help settle it, the H is silent when saying Devil Joe.
Okay, Devil Joe.
Devil Joe. Just leave out the H. That's good. Nope. See, you guys aren't wrong about anything. Nope. I don't want to do that. Okay,
so we got the pronunciation for Devil Joe wrong.
Nope. I don't want that one too.
I'm so glad to know how to pronounce that now. Actually, I'm terrible when I read something.
Oh, about
pronouncing. Oh, no. What are we wrong about?
Kidney. Okay. It's all bullshit. But I just want to make sure people don't give us too much stuff. Kidney 05 says you guys aren't wrong about anything. But this is the only place I know where to put this. The Shadow of the Tomb Raider trailer leaked too during the show, and then gives me a link to it. Kevin, if you could go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, I'd love to watch it after the show. We don't need to watch it now and get a copyright strike or anything like that. Well, yeah. What's that? Yeah, I guess that's true. Whatever. I'm just saying you could have it, you know, you're wrong, Kevin. You're wrong too. Breaking news, this is from Lord of Phone. Microsoft has announced 17 new games coming to the ID at Xbox program. I'll cover that for tomorrow then.
Okay.
They're still trying to get us to say Devil Joe correctly.
Yep. Yeah. That's on me.
Cloud has appeared on a Nintendo platform before his appearance in Smash. Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories, GBA. Kingdom Hearts Recoded, DS. Theta Rhythm. Stupid ass name. Final Fantasy 3DS, and then Final Fantasy Explorers 3DS.
Yeah, these are all correct. That's true.
Marcin is pronounced Marchin or Marchin, depending on the accent.
I'm going to stop trying to pronounce things. I think
that's if you want to know what games are in the Sega compilation, they're listed apparently on the EU PlayStation blog.
Can we have a segment called You're Right, where they just point out everything we're right about?
It would be a short segment, but Luke R. Wolf says, Jared, Noctis being in Tekken 7 doesn't necessarily mean he won't be in Smash Brothers. Soul Calibur 2 had Link, and he still made a cameo in Smash Winky. That was him being cheeky.
Monkey. It doesn't necessarily invalidate it, but it's unlikely.
And Nat says, no, Greg, you're wrong. Everybody knows it's Bagel Goose. I like saying Beetlejuice.
Man, I love this show. So much fun.
Right? I agree. Yeah, if you like this show, ladies and gentlemen, hit up patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Kick us a couple bucks or two so we can keep bringing in great people and making great shows. Of course, we'd love it if you subscribed on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listened on podcast services around the globe, including Spotify. No matter where you get the show, thank you for your support.
I subscribed today.
Another pound for you.
We pounded twice.
We're pounding a lot.
All right.
Today,
I like it. I love a good pounding.
Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow your hosts will be Jared Petty and Tim Geddes because I am going to play God of War. But until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.